Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
127-113 the final. The Spurs have won 10 straight, and they move to two games back of the Oklahoma City Thunder for the number one seed in the Western Conference, and they have the tiebreaker after the game tonight. You can listen to tonight's Kevin Anna, Tom Tolbert with you here at Chase Center. And Tom, you knew it going into this game. This is going to be an uphill battle for the Warriors. 39th starting lineup, and you asked at one point, these guys probably haven't played a whole lot on the court together. And yeah, 39 different starting lineups in 76 games. So that's basically a starting lineup every other game.
And no, it's incredible. I saw a stat, maybe it was last week, where the Warriors had missed the seventh most minutes due to injury. And I was like, seventh? It's crazy the way the league is nowadays. I think there's more teams that have more different starting lineups than ever before. Like, I never remember playing the Trailblazers, and it is always Porter and Drexler and Kersey and Buck Williams and Duckworth. Like, every single time I played them. Like, if somebody was out, you're like, whoa, really? They're missing a game? Like, it's almost surprising when someone missed a game. Now I understand. Look, that was 40 years ago, and things are totally different nowadays, and the way the game's played is different. The way medical staffs treat injuries, totally different. They rest. They try to rest, give players rest occasionally. So it's different. But it used to be kind of surprising to me. Now it's not anymore. But this lineup and those, like what they had out there tonight, there's no way those guys could have played more than like 15, 20 minutes tops together. As a unit. And basketball, you want to know offensively and defensively what your teammates are going to do. You want to know what to expect. Is he cutting? Does he like to jab on the cut and then come back out to the perimeter for a three? Does he go all the way through on a cut? When I set a pick for him, which way does he like to go? Left, right? If we're on defense, are we going under? Does he know we're going under? How does he like to play certain things? So it's hard when you haven't played with guys. And any little misstep, a team like San Antonio, who did have their entire unit out there tonight, their starting group, their bench guy, they're going to take advantage of that. And they took advantage of that tonight.
How about 41 points, 18 rebounds, and three blocks to go along with three assists on 16 of 22 shooting. And, yes, he wasn't facing a full-fledged Golden State Warriors team, but, man, was he impressive.
No, I mean, look, he's great. There's no doubt about it. I think we use the word unique probably too often. He's unique. There's just nobody like him. There's nobody that can do what he does at the size he does it. It's astounding. He's still the one player in the game. When I watch play live, I'm like, golly, that is just that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't look real. It looks like an adult playing with first graders. You know, they're out there jumping after the ball, and they're trying to swipe at it and trying to get it, and he's just holding the ball up and just, I got it, and then he just jumps up and dunks it. Like, that's what it looks like. Out of his, I don't have the number for this, but out of his 16 field goal makes, I would guess 8 of them were dunks or layups in the restricted area.
Yeah.
Where he just caught it above his head, and they just lobbed it to him because he was too tall, caught it, and then just jumped and laid it up. Like, it was just that simple. Seriously, it's like, you know, I coached AYB when my kids were playing, and the tallest kid, he'd just go down low, you'd throw it up to him, he'd hold it, nobody could get it, and then you just lay it up. Well, his layup's a dunk, and you can't do anything about it. The Warriors couldn't do anything about it. Now, if they had Porzingis, then you have somebody that can combat that. He'd still get his points. He's still great. But he wouldn't be able to do that because Porzingis could match that size. Tonight, they didn't have anybody that could match that size. That's not to take away from the fact that he still hit some pretty impressive shots. He had one where he picked up the ball around the top of the key, got all the way to the rim.
Yeah.
He had one where Pajemski kind of hit him in the side and his body control. And, look, we're used to see. I think NBA players are the greatest athletes in the world. So to see somebody around the short post get hit in the hip and kind of keep their body control and make that bank shot off the glass, it's not like something I drop my jaw. But when the guy's 7'5" and can do it, then it's like, wow. Like, yeah. It's wild watching this guy play basketball. It's just he's different than everybody else. So, yeah, while the Warriors were shorthanded and you could kind of see a game like this coming from him, he's done this against teams who were, right, well-stocked.
Yep.
And he can get out and do it against just about anybody. So, no, it's fun to watch him play. So I was thinking about this.
Okay.
We'll see what you think about
all
this.
Right.
So it's either going to be him or Shea for the MVP this year. And for the foreseeable future, maybe the next couple of years, it could be those two guys will be in the mix anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic will be in the mix. Who is the next American-born player to win MVP?
That's a great question. Cooper Flagg?
I thought of him. I thought maybe him, maybe Brown, Tatum. I mean, you got to win to get MVP. Celtics are going to be good. Those two guys kind of split the vote sometimes, so maybe not, but maybe Cunningham, Detroit, maybe.
Anthony Edwards.
Who would you say?
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, yes, absolutely Anthony Edwards, no doubt. But it's crazy because this year is going to be the eighth straight year.
Yeah. Wow.
A foreign-born player has won the MVP. Yeah. The eighth straight year. And it could Wembanyama is going to win some. I don't know if it'll be next year, but he's going to win some. Wouldn't surprise me if Shea won another one. Jokic might not be done winning. I mean, it just – you look at these players. What if Antetokounmpo goes somewhere that's good?
Yeah.
And has a chance to win a championship.
Or Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. That's another, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Luka Doncic. So – it's just wild to think about that. Like, it happened for a few – we're going eighth year. This is the eighth year that someone born outside the U.S. is going to win. And, I think it makes the game better because we're getting all the good – we're getting all the great players from around the world.
Absolutely.
Right? We were watching NBA Africa tonight. And who knows, maybe 10, 15 years from now, somebody out of that league comes over here and he's an MVP candidate. Or maybe they have, like, two or three all-stars. Like – it is truly a global sport, and we're getting the best from each and every country to come over here and play. There can't be anybody – well, I shouldn't say this. If there are, there are very few people on the globe that are great at basketball that aren't in this league, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you're great, you're in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You can be great and maybe play baseball elsewhere and then try to come over here a little bit later on. Maybe you're playing in Korea. Maybe you're playing in Japan, stuff like that. Football doesn't even exist except for here. So you think about that when it started with the Dream Team in 92 and then the globalization of the NBA. And it's fully formed when you have eight straight guys winning the MVP that weren't born here. If that doesn't say globalization, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I mean, Team USA is going to have their hands full in
2028. Big time. They had their hands full last time.
They did,
They barely got by. It wasn't for Steph going nuclear at the end of the game, then maybe they lose that one. But, yeah, going forward, I mean, you got Canada who's coming now, and there's some really – so it's – I mean, really, it's fun and exciting because you're getting the best of the best playing in this league.
A question about this year's MVP race for you, because you said it's pretty close between Shea and Wemby.
Yep.
One knock I've heard on Wembanyama, 29 minutes per game. Shea's at 34. Is that how much does the on-court time factor in for you?
It might factor in a little bit, but hey, they're winning.
Yeah.
And he's putting up the numbers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it would factor in a ton for me. But, yeah, I think it does factor in. The analogy for me would be if you have two pitchers and they're battling for the Cy Young and they're really close in terms of stats and metrics and all that, I'd probably take the guy who gives me more innings, guy who's like 205 innings as opposed to 165 or 170. So I could see where that could play a factor in this. But, I mean, if San Antonio overtakes OKC and is the number one seed in the Western Conference – then you got a really, really strong case. So your case for Wembanyama starts with defense. Like, he is a better defensive player than Shea. He is the best defensive player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where his value starts. And then you go to all the offensive stuff. Shea is just, I mean, Shea is the ultimate closer. Like, if it's a 12-footer at the end of the game, like, if I can get him going downhill and a pull-up jump shot, it's money. Dude mm-hmm. doesn't miss those shots. Like, yeah. he's incredible. The thing against him, I would say, is that team is so deep. If they're fully healthy except for him, they're still probably getting home court advantage in the NBA. They could win enough games to get home court without him. Like, yeah. that's how good they are. But, look, they're both really, really good. I don't think if you pick one of those two, you should have to apologize. Like, you're yeah. going to say, look, this is my case for this. And if you know basketball, you should say, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Perfectly reasonable. Like, even Luka. I think some people want to vote for Luka. Now, unlike Wimby, with Luka, it's, well, he doesn't play D. So how much does that affect you? Because Luka is the best offensive player in the game.
Absolutely.
Like, he's just insane. You watch yeah. him play, he's like, it just – I was watching the game last night against the Cavaliers and some of the stuff he was doing. It's like he's just messing around out there. Boom, 42. I mean, yeah. he can do that in his sleep. Of course, he can give up 32 in a heartbeat. So there's a lot of great choices. Those are going to be the two. I think Luka maybe gets some like a top – definitely some top five. But, like, I'd probably go Shea right now, but the season isn't over.
Yeah.
Now, let's wait and see how the season plays out. And, again, it may come down to who wins the most games. Mm-hmm. And I never have a problem with that. Like, if you win them – like, somebody asked me who would I vote for Rookie of the Year. And I said I'd go for Knipple because they're going to be in the playoffs and they've won more games. And isn't that the whole exercise of trying to win as many games you can to get to the playoffs?
Yep.
Well, the Hornets have. The Mavericks haven't. And I'm not going to say it's completely Cooper Flagg's fault because it's not. But wins should matter. And when it's really close like it is between Flagg and Knipple, I got to go with the team that's winning more games. That really doesn't have a huge impact on the MVP race, but – so, yeah, I mean, I think I saw the odds last night. I think it was like Shea was like minus 220 and Wemby was plus 300. So it's really, really mm-hmm. close. I think that sounds about right to me.
Okay.
That sounds about right. But if Wembanyama were to take him over the last 10 days of the season, that wouldn't surprise me either.
We'll get you out of here on this, Tom. Cavaliers in town tomorrow night. They're coming off a loss to the Luka-led Los Angeles Lakers last night. They've been playing better as of late, winners of 7-10. And you kind of saw Steve Kerr kind of hold some of his guys back. Draymond Green just 21 minutes.
Yep.
Brandon Podziemski 17 yep. minutes. Nate Williams 47 minutes. He did not hold back on him. Yeah, that just
did
caught
he?
Yeah, that just caught my
Holy
eye.
Holy smokes. I didn't even notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so.
What, 40? What?
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so get him
wow.
up, Nate.
But I mean, I knew Nate was out there a lot, but I had 47.
I didn't have 47 either.
Neither did I. Holy smokes.
But I think at some point Steve realized, all right, Cleveland is the more gettable game potentially.
Well, I think he may have been thinking, and he could have been thinking more gettable game, but he also may be thinking, let's save some of these guys because it may be in conjunction with getting somebody back. Maybe they get one or two guys back.
Yep.
I think what Porzingis was an illness.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's feeling better, he can come back tomorrow. So if you can hold some of those guys back and be more like full strength tomorrow, instead of kind of half and half where you're like, well, let's burn these guys out tonight. Steve doesn't love to play guys a bunch of minutes on back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Limit their minutes tomorrow and have the other guys come back. Let's have the other guys maybe come back possibly and have these guys at full strength and give us more of a lengthened lineup. So, and yes, I think San Antonio is better than Cleveland. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, look, it's more than likely going to be 10 unless something wild happens.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been 9 if Portland would have lost in L.A. last night. They looked really good, by the way.
They
so
did.
It's probably going to be tough to catch either of those teams. Possible, but you still got games that are going to be tough to win, whether you're healthy or not. So, to me, it doesn't even matter anymore. 9-10, hopefully get some guys healthy. Hopefully get them on the court together so they can play a few games together, have a few minutes together, and then just get there and let it rip and see what happens. I mean, there's no pressure this year. There's no championship expectations this year. I don't even know how many people are expecting them to be in the playoffs. They're just like, hey, we'll see what happens. So, but you get Steph back. And that's another thing, too, that we'll get into the further we get along with this. What could you reasonably expect from Steph, as great as he is, after having missed close to 30 games
yeah.
and getting dropped like in the crucible of like the playoff run where everyone's like grinding and trying to either get their seeding up or get out of the play-in game if you can. I don't know if that's possible, but yeah, a lot of stuff still to go for the last, seven games of the season?
Six now.
God, dang, six games of the season. I can't believe it's already here again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, Tom, great stuff tonight.
Hey, good job, Kev. Yeah. It's always good calling a game with you.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Next time, no tie, okay?
Okay.
I mean, the ties, that is a little much.
I try to dress up. You know, I'm the G League guy. So. Yeah,
no. But you can't say I'm trying to dress up and then have sneakers on, okay?
I mean, if you have sneakers on.
If you had dress shoes on, I would have bought it. But, I mean, no tie next time. But you do look nice, though.
I appreciate that.
A lot nicer than I look.
Tom,
that right now.
Tom will be with Tim tomorrow night as the Warriors take on the Cavs. Warriors losing this one 127-113.